Welcome, hello, howdy, howdy. It is the Side Quest, your weekly-ish journey into the wonderful world of video games, video game culture, and the people that engage within both those things. I am one of your hosts, Dolly Dymovsky. Joining me, I didn't sound too sure about that one. Joining me, person over here, Sam Dixon. Hey, Sam.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, good. It's been a while. It's been a couple weeks.
The last time you were on was on PAX, right?
Yeah, I think I was going to try to make it to the one right after PAX, and then I got busy. So
yeah, life happens, as they say. Life
yes,
happens.
The sports never stop coming, and they don't stop coming.
To quote Smash Mouth, the sports never stop coming. Well, I hope it's been a boring few weeks without us, but you're back. That's all that matters, really.
So yes, with games to talk about.
With games to talk about, or game or games. That's always good. I'm going to get my news thing over here. My news thing, a.k.a. a pen to write stuff. And we're going to, as we are wont to do, we're going to start off with some news. Hold on, or some ASMR coffee right there. We're gonna start off with some some news, and I think the best or funniest or whatever. I don't even know how to think about this. Let me open up this link here. Something that nobody ever saw coming. We all saw this coming. The saga of Embracer Group continues, because now Embracer Group has is planning on splitting into three separate companies. It is no longer Embracer Group. It has debraced itself, unembraced.
No longer embracing a group.
And it is not, now it's become the group. I mean, the one thing we all knew, this was just a mess waiting to happen, right? Embracer Group just kept buying companies and buying companies and buying companies and buying companies. And oh my God, speaking of buying companies, Taylor Bliss.
Yeah.
So I'm done here. Let me switch spots with Taylor. So I'm gonna put you on top there, Sam. That way you're on top. Hey, Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing good. Let's keep him moving. We're cutting
moving
into,
here.
We're cutting into Stardew Valley time.
Yeah, Embracer Group. We're talking about this sucker split into three companies. What's left of Embracer
friends
Group?
Friends and friends and friends.
Hence the name of our podcast episode, SideQuesting and Friends. And Friends. Yeah, the three companies will be Asmodee, Coffee Stain and Friends, and this is my favorite one, Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Okay, cool. All right.
Truly geniuses, sure. Among us.
It is just a mess of a system. So they're calling the premium segment, which is, I think, Coffee Stain and Friends, and that's going to be Coffee Stain, THQ Nordic, Ghost Ship, and a few others there. I guess they're calling the premium games. I don't know what that means. Then you have like Asmodee, which is going to be the board game and trading card, all kind of the physical stuff, and getting rid of all that. And then you finally have Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, which has maybe the IP that everybody wants, the whole Lord of the Rings stuff, and Tomb Raider. It also has Dead Island, Metro, Kingdom Come Deliverance. Crystal Dynamics is there, which is funny. So is like Tripwire and Warhorse and 4A Games. It's just wild to see them go down this route and where it all ended up. It reminds me a little bit of like cable, because cable was fine. You had all the channels, you paid one price and got to watch everything. And then all of a sudden, like the streamers thought, we're going to go out there, we're going to do our own thing, we're going to make our own streaming services. And they realize, yeah, what if we partnered together and kind of started combining our skill sets, like Disney Plus and Hulu and Amazon and Apple. And now there's like three streamers. And now we're hearing like Sony's buying Paramount Plus and probably going to cancel that sucker. So it's like, it's essentially the opposite of Embracer, the mirror of Embracer, where Embracer converged and then split up. And it's what the opposite of what the, you know, ISPs immediately. It's just wild. Embracer, man. It's just been, it's been a wonderful saga for us too. Apart from the Activision Blizzard Microsoft thing, this has been a wonderful fun. Well, let me rephrase that. It's not fun for the people that are affected, obviously, but it's just been a drama that we all knew was going to end up this way. Yeah, just fun stuff. Yeah, I mean, all we can do is like agree.
There's nothing to add. I mean, like, it just doesn't look good. Kind of embarrassing, to be honest. The whole Embracer saga.
And like, they bought all those studios and bought all that IP in the hopes they were going to sell. Like, literally, that's all they did. They're like, well, if we buy everything, we're going to get this big $2 billion deal. That fell through. And they're like, oh, guys, what do we do now? Divest. Man. Yep. Good time.
Best luck to everybody affected. That's all I gotta say.
That's all we can really say. A fun one, and I find this one actually to be kind of interesting. This one sort of came out of the blue, is that one company that's been like weirdly building themselves up and purchasing, but not purchasing like a ton, just kind of making smarter purchases, is Atari. And Atari has announced that they have relaunched Infogrames, whatever, and they've acquired Totally Reliable Delivery Service. It's just really funny. They're like, hey, you know what? Let's bring back this this label that nobody cared about or remembered since the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. I think this is a funny one. Yeah, they bought what, TRDS from Tiny Build, and just crazy.
It's bizarre.
Infogrames, baby. And everyone remembers that wonderful music video, right, that they made. They made that song. Did you guys ever hear that Infogrames song?
Oh, man, no.
Nope. Holy cow. Let me see if I can find this, because it is Infogrames song. Here it is. This is funny, because Infogrames had made this song to drum up support. Is this the song right here? Let's see if it starts.
We can't.
Riveting radio.
We can't hear it.
You can't hear it? Oh, I should probably share. Let me share this. Let me share this time. Okay. Now, can you hear it?
Yes.
Superman saves. Just listen, this is wonderful. Instinct Hotline, Dragon Ball, Alone in the Dark, and that's not all. Here we go. Rocks power. They're just like listing off all their IP. Entertainment. Rocks power. Okay, I'm gonna stop.
Please, thank you.
That was funny. Oh goodness. Yeah, Infogrames is back. If you guys really want to, maybe that should be our new theme song. If you guys ever really want to just get an earbug, that's the one right there. But yeah, anyways, Atari's rebuilding Infogrames from the ground up. So that's a thing. But there is one other news bite that I thought was actually kind of interesting, and that is you guys heard of this this TV show called Fallout? You guys heard of Fallout?
Negative.
No, never heard of it. Well, maybe you'll hear about it eventually, because they just officially announced season 2 of the show. Have either of you had a chance to watch it at all?
Nope.
JJ and I talked about it.
First two episodes.
Okay, cool. What do you think so far of those first two episodes?
Good. It's certainly the best way to consume Fallout content.
Yeah. It's interesting because they noted this is a tangent, but it's not like record numbers of people are now playing Fallout 76 on Steam, because the game was, I think, originally like Windows PC or like Microsoft Windows based or whatever. Or no, it was the launcher, right? It was under the Bethesda launcher, but now it's on Steam. So they said record numbers of Steam. Fallout 4 like reemerged in like number one in Europe or in UK for sales on their list last week. So it's completely reinvigorated the Fallout series to the point where people are like asking, where's Fallout 5? But I think it's cool. I like the show. I really do. I'm 7 episodes in, and I have the last episode queued up, which I'll be watching after this, after we're done podcasting here. But yeah, it's just cool. You know what? Fallout is, we're at the point right now where comic movies are essentially not dead, but they're on their way out and being replaced by video game and pop culture movies. Like obviously the Mario movie, biggest video game movie of all time, Last of Us, Sonic movies were huge. And now you got, you know, the Pokemon movie was huge. Now you got this Fallout TV series and a whole bunch of Twisted Metal was surprisingly good. That TV series on Peacock. So yeah, it's a interesting time if you want to consume games, especially Fallout. But I mentioned it last week to JJ. I was watching Fallout, and as it was queuing up the very first time, like my network kind of fritzed a little bit because we were having some network issues, and the stream kind of stopped, and it started and stopped and started, and I thought, wow, they really are replicating the Bethesda experience with the way they're presenting this game. But no, it's Fallout Mania, and I think it's I think it's pretty cool to see. But yeah, like you said, the best way to consume Fallout, it's pretty true. It is kind of, I feel like it's pretty true to the experience, right? Because it's very Fallout 3-ish to me. I don't know if you guys have if you feel that way.
I can't speak to it since I haven't seen it. I don't want to make
assumptions.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
As long as it's better than Fallout 4, then we're good.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, I gotta play that. That's actually Fallout 4 is being re-released. Getting the next gen update coming out in the next I think later this week, right? Yeah, it's later this week. So yeah. that's kind of it for news. We're in a in-between time right now. IGN Live has their tickets are up for their thing. Summer Game Fest announced like some of their stuff. There's not a ton of games being released at the moment, like big games, but I think we're going to start hopefully ramping. I think June there's a few things, like Elden Ring has its DLC and Final Fantasy has its DLC. So we're waiting to find out the next bit of news, but we can play games up until that. Oh, excuse me. We can play games until the next news shows up, and we have been playing games. And I'm going to let Sam go first with a game that he's been playing for review. Sam, what is the name of your game?
Yes, I've been playing a game with its own unique name, Mini Shoot Adventures, but with probably the largest collection of influences that it's wearing on its sleeve. So as you're seeing, this is essentially a twin stick shooter, but it is an adventure game much the same as like A Link to the Past or any sort of 2D Zelda. You're going through the game, going through maps, finding different abilities for traversal and different movement options. You know, there's nothing quite like a hook shot in this, but there is ways to get over gaps and stuff that you don't originally have at the start of the game. And yeah, it's basically a bullet hell shooter that you are just adventuring around the map as opposed to moving constantly on a plane. And it is a very good Zelda game. It does the thing that Zelda games do incredibly well, which is to suggest that there's more around every corner, and that, like, you know, if you just explore a little bit longer, you might be able to find a way over here, or you might, you know, be able to discover the next room that will get you the item, you know, that'll eventually down the line get you over this gap or get you through this door. It's a neat idea. It threads the line of like maybe being a little too retro. It certainly, you know, lends a hand to the player to kind of give them an idea of where to go, but it doesn't outright ever tell you. So, you know, if you're not used to a game that's kind of like, hey, go here, or, you know, any of that stuff, it might be a little confusing. But it is, you know, it nails that sort of old school 2D top-down Zelda with then a very solid twin stick shooter that is your movement in combat.
Is the movement like, it looked like he kind of slides around, or the plane slides around a little bit? Does that?
Yeah, so at some point you gain,
like right here, yeah.
Yeah, so at some point you gain like a boost that adds a little bit of you know, a little bit of speed, and then also some momentum when you're going around corners. You do also gain a traversal that puts you not on solid ground. Well, it's in the trailer there, so it runs you on water, and that physics is a little different. Like you can't strafe in water unless you're boosting and stuff like that. So it gets a little complicated with movement, especially when you're in environments where you're moving between the two. But it's just like a lot of fun. It's, you know, it has, I don't know that you'd call them dungeons, but it has environments that are meant as a like contained experience to get through, and then an overworld map to sort of link all that stuff together, and then, you know, hidden objects, hidden upgrades. It does have a leveling system. By defeating enemies, you gain experience, and then you can upgrade your guns and your boost speed, stuff like that. So it has an upgrade system built in. You know, it has a map that, you know, you can sort of buy different objects in the game that will sort of streamline your experience a little bit, or like help you with progression. Like at some point it presents you with the opportunity to purchase something that can show you like check mark off objects on your map that are completed 100%. Yeah, and stuff like that. So yeah, it's, well, and it has the classic, you know, there is a sort of end to the game and the story, but if you collect enough of certain collectibles and stuff, there's more of
an real ending.
Yeah. My story? Only
no
story. Yes, there is a little bit of one. It's kind of, you know, a little bit generic fare of something's gone wrong in this world. Please save it for us.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not really, I would say if you're looking for story, not what you're looking for here, but it's really the gameplay that, you know, makes you clear something and you go, okay, now I know about 1,000 different places that I can go that I've seen before that I can take this and, you know, run a little bit deeper into that area with it.
That's cool. Yeah, this looks like a blast. I always like when games sort of fuse two things together, because you can get some bad fusions, and you can get some that are actually kind of novel and neat and work. And this one looks like it kind of works.
Yeah, it's loads of fun. Not the longest thing. You'll definitely finish it under 10 hours, I would say.
Okay.
But
it's a Dolly level game, right?
Yeah.
There.
Well, and the best news is that it's on Steam. It runs on Steam Deck flawlessly. So it's the perfect little, essentially Game Boy Advance game that you can take with you on Steam Deck.
Love it. Very cool. Awesome. Mini Shoot Adventures. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. You playing anything else?
I am, although not for review, but it has been a little bit of an addiction the last handful of days, and that's Dave the Diver.
Oh, okay.
I know I'm about a year late to this party.
Don't worry, you and I both. Yeah.
And I'm now understanding all the conversation of like the discussion about this being a quote unquote indie game, because Nexon Korea is who makes it.
What are you playing it on?
I'm currently playing it on PlayStation, because they just made it free for the like plus whatever middle tier thing is. But I'm thinking about switching to PC, just because I've honestly probably put about 14 hours into it in like a week of playing it. Man, is that game fun. It's got such a good gameplay loop of going fishing and then running like the front of house of a sushi restaurant. And it could have been that gameplay loop for 30 hours and I would have very gladly have played it. But then I was actually, it's funny enough, I was like out of town this weekend at a wedding, and I was explaining to somebody about Dave the Diver, and I went to show them the trailer, and the trailer had like, I would say 90% of the trailer I had yet to see gameplay wise in Dave the Diver, and I was like, oh, I've got like a whole nother game to play here. So I've slowly been getting to that stuff now, but like now there's like a farm, there's like a fish hatchery. I played somebody's rhythm game Dream last night, which it suggests that there's more of those upcoming. It's wild. It's like to me it feels like, and Nexon is also people that make a group of mobile games, and correct me if I'm wrong, they make that tower game, right, where you make the different
tower fantasy.
What is it called? Fantasy Tower, is that what it is, where you have the different levels? They also, I believe, make the like train and plane traveling game that you're moving customers through, and the art style is like almost exactly the same as those, just obviously a little bit more detailed because they're building a whole world as opposed to just like you know, a tower in a mobile game. But it's so wild that it just feels like they had like one or two really good gameplay loops, and they were like, let's just keep shoving every good idea that we come up with. Like, we're watching fights I haven't even seen at this point. Like, it's nuts. Like, it has so much content, and it keeps throwing it at you. And then also, like, keeps presenting ways that, like, hey, if you don't like this one aspect of the game, don't worry about it. You don't, like, I've never seen this Cooking Mama stuff. This is completely new to me. I've not seen any of that. Like, it's, I just got to this, like, deep place. Like, it's wild. Again, I could have played the first, like, 5 minute, like, gameplay loop it presented to me for 30 hours, and I would have been fine. But it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah. Honestly, back from when I was playing it, the hardest part is that the hardest part is sticking with it when you do get everything, because then you're just like, I miss the early days.
Yeah, I can definitely see how it's going to get like almost a little too convoluted, just because, like, as I said, there are like things they present you where it's like, hey, ignore this gameplay loop for like a week if you have to, like while you're focusing on this. It's straight up like, hey, if you don't feel like diving for fish, just do this. So hopefully
the problem is that the diving for fish is like yes, the restaurant's really good too, but like you also can't do the restaurant without diving for fish.
Oh yeah.
And but yeah, I mean, I don't know, that I hit the wall on Dave the Diver. I still have to beat it. That was like 6 months ago.
You hit the seawall. You hit the levee.
I hit the levee.
Yeah, but we'll see. I am I'm all about it right now. So hopefully it'll continue to be good.
I gotta get back into it too. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I hit the head on Steam one day, one of the major days. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Taylor, what are you playing? Still Stardew doing it up?
That's the only game that exists anymore. Speaking of games with gameplay,
I don't
loops.
See it behind you on the screen.
Yeah, I didn't feel like getting the green screen out today. but yeah, no, I mean, it's been the game before bed, the game before work, and those are the only two times I get to play video games. So that's it.
Yeah, dude. Here's my ish, not an issue, but here's my thing with Stardew Valley. And it's what I have with games like that, games like Minecraft and Terraria, games that are so deep. Even though they're simple to get into, they feel like there's so many layers of things that you can do in these games that it almost gets a little too daunting. Like, I look at Stardew Valley and I think, do I want to farm and have a family in the game and get married? And there's a story. Like, I've started the game. I'm maybe like 2 hours in, and that's as far as like I get before I realize this is work. It seems like there's a lot of work that I have to do in this game. There's a lot of chores, and I'm like, I know there's more to it. I know there's definitely more to it, but
the problem is that you've let the illusion of choice overwhelm you, as opposed to it's not all of those things. All of those things just happen to exist. You're just a guy on a farm.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, no, but like, but like for real.
Okay.
It's like none of this stuff matters. The whole point is like, the whole point of Stardew is that like you're just going to continue to exist. If you if you interact with people, then other stuff will happen. The only true like quote unquote goal is to like, you know, because I'm going to spoil the starting and goal of a 8-year-old game. You know, the whole thing is that you inherit the farm from your grandfather, right?
Okay.
From your lovely papa. And so the only real goal of Stardew Valley is that you want to satisfy what his vision for what the farm could have been. Like, that's the whole thing. Everything else is incidental. You can choose to do it or not. In fact, you can choose to not satisfy it if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. So it's just up to you about whether or not you want to make a farm. You literally can't run out of money because you can fish or you can just collect shit and just sell it. That's the beautiful part about it. Mm-hmm. Don't let there's been this huge transition of the way that people want to play games, especially for, in my opinion, younger people coming into games where it's just like min-max. You just got to like, why are you, you're not doing this when you could, when you could be making 3 times more money if you're doing this, and you have to do these 18 things in your day. And if you don't do those 18 things, you've missed, I don't know, 1,000 G. And you're never going to be able to complete the community center in one calendar year if you are behind. Like, that shit doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. This game was made before that stuff happened. You're not a speedrunner. You're just a dude trying to make a farm.
The problem with something like Stardew Valley that's been out for so long is that there's this expectation that, at this point, if you're playing Stardew Valley, you've played it 100 times and, now you're going to do the sea farm and this one, you're only going to grow like vegetables or whatever. Like, there's so many weird ways that people end up playing that, plus with mods and all types of stuff that, it is like intimidating. And some of the stuff, I mean, we've seen a sort of direction with games of like even Death Stranding, Dave the Diver, all that stuff, where it's like you're basically taking what would be sort of odd jobs or the gig economy and turning it into a gameplay
into the whole game
enjoyable in some way or another. I got to the thing with Death Stranding. Like, I love that game. The story's great. Gameplay is amazing and all that stuff. But I wouldn't recommend that to a single person I know that plays video games, because how are you going to hard sell to them? Like, yeah, by about the 40th package.
There is no hard selling Death Stranding. There is just only soft selling.
Yeah, the first time you come down a mountain and a Low Roar song plays and you tear up.
Oh my God. It'll make sense. It's just like, it's that kind of game. And I think that, like, honestly, Stardew Valley is that kind of game where it's like a lot of the small moments of like doing chores on a farm. It's like, okay, I got to wake up at 6 so that I can hoe 18 plots of land and then fertilize it and then water it and then plant seeds. And you're like, okay, where's the fun part? And it's like, I don't know. And then you fucking go into town and like the chillest beat of all time plays and you watch an extremely emotionally fulfilling cutscene. Mm. It's just that kind of game.
That's cool. I'll get into it eventually. I'm gonna give it
right another after shot. You beat Half-Life 2.
Right after, which I am playing. I actually started with Half-Life 1. I figured, let me get through Half-Life 1. The Steam Deck is great for that kind of stuff.
Wait, are you really playing Half-Life 1?
Yeah.
He's never beaten it.
I never.
Not beat even it, like you didn't even it. Play what was the updated version that fans no. made?
Nope.
Black Mesa.
Black Mesa. Yeah.
No, I have not. Nope.
Why do you hate yourself? You know, all you have to do is shout into the void of our Discord, and Zach will give you a like 13-hour explainer video, so you don't have to watch the first, but you don't have to play the first game.
I don't mind playing it because I want to at least experience it. Right? I don't need to. I don't know if I'm ever going to finish it, but I want to at least go through part of the experience. Like, I love the Portal games, which are great. I know they're somewhat in the same universe, and I have the orange box on my 360 somewhere. But I'm like, let me give this a shot.
Team Fortress 1 and 2 are in the same universe too, but you're not out there playing those.
We'll see. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. But yeah. Okay, cool. Stardew Valley, baby. I am playing a game for review that I got to give a little bit of a warning about this game. So this game is called Buckshot Roulette, and it's essentially...
I've heard a few things.
Okay. It's essentially a, I hate to say it's a it's like a Russian roulette game, but with a shotgun, which you put the shotgun in your face and you could blow your brains out. So definitely a trigger warning, because there are moments when I first played this game where I was getting not PTSD, but I was seriously like getting the shakes and starting to like have some type of weird feels to it. So letting you know right now, if you don't want to, I'm going to play it in a second, but if you don't want to watch that, totally fine. Because I do think that it can affect some people. But let me get through my review of it first, and then I'll get into a little play session. I like this game for what it is. There's this genre of short and simple and very easy to understand video games that can create a lot of depth based on how you play them, and that focus on the gamey aspect of games. Like, there is no story to this. There's no story to Balatro. There's no story to a lot of these kinds of games. But because of how they're set up, I think they're actually a game, right? And I appreciate that they're going this route. This game is, like I said, it's Russian roulette, very kind of 90s grimy. You know, you can play it on your Packard Bell level of fidelity. That's the whole purpose. And you're playing against this sort of entity, and you take turns taking shots. If you shoot yourself, or you can shoot the other person, and depending on how if you have a blank or not, you can basically get a point, right, or whatever. And you have a certain amount of health, and then you can go through several rounds, and each additional round adds things, like you can add slowdowns, you can tie the other person's hands so that they skip a turn, you can do all kinds of stuff. So there are those little multipliers there, modifiers, thank you, the coffee's kicking in, that can make the playthroughs actually kind of interesting, and there you get these randomized modifiers that can do that. So, and that's it, and then you just kind of redo that loop over and over again, and then things open up a little bit more. Some things get more difficult. Some, you know, depending on how you play. But really, that's the loop of it. And once you play it just a few times, I mean, a lot of it can be luck in a game like this, much like Balatro. But then once you get the gist of it, you can actually start to understand the patterns and be sort of be successful. And that's it. And that's this game. It is essentially dice rolls that are turned into shotguns in our face. So I'll get into the actual game. I kind of enjoyed it, but definitely a trigger warning. And I don't know if I'm going to be playing this game a lot, because it just felt very weird to me. Although I know like a million people have already downloaded these things because streamers have been playing this for months now in like early access and early versions, and it's been on Itch and all that kind of stuff. But now it's on Steam to a wider audience. So yeah, play it. It's only like a few bucks. So I'm going to play it so you guys can check it out. Again, trigger warning, blah, blah, blah. Let me share my screen here. And let's go here. Buckshot Roulette. So can you guys see my screen?
Yep.
I can. I don't know if there's audio or not. I turned the audio off. All right, good. So there you go. It's loading up. So now... you kind of start in this, as it'll show up here. You're starting by whenever it shows up. Come on, you're in this club area, like the bath. There you go. You're in like the bathroom of a club, and then you're gonna go through the door. You just click, walks over there. You walk through. There's like some DJ party or something going on down there. You hear the unts unts, and all you can do here is bam. Let's go through the doorway, and you get into the Buckshot Roulette. This is it. This is the whole setup for the area. Please sign the waiver. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll click on there, and I'm going to put my waiver, my name as Sam. Enter. Okay. All right. I am Sam. My name's going to be Sam.
Going to get right. Shot immediately. So odd choice.
There are three rounds, the dealer and myself. So there are three. All right. There's one live round, which is the red, and two blanks. He's going to insert the cells, the shells in an unknown order. And we, the player, always get the first shot. Okay, take the shotgun. Now, do we want to try to shoot the dealer first? or ourselves.
We have Zach's posted a clip of it's Will playing this game.
Yeah,
in the
yeah.
Discord several times.
Yes, yes. So okay. I'm gonna go
all
with
coming together.
I'm gonna go with myself. Now, I have two life points here. So if I go with myself, if I don't hurt myself, all right, cool, I didn't. Which means now it's I think it's my turn again, right? Because I didn't kill myself. so it'll be I have a 50-50 chance. Now I think it's probably a pretty good chance that I want to try to shoot the dealer. There you go. Do we got it? Got him. All right, bam. Took away one of his hit points. All right, he's got one left. I got two. Cool. The second round of this, there are more, there's more opportunity for shells. Now there's three live rounds and two blanks, and the game kind of goes like this for this first couple rounds. Okay, that's a hidden sequence. But again, it's where when you get to those actual modifiers that things really get interesting. So I have a 60% chance to take away one of his hit points. And I'm just going to keep doing it. So I'm going to try it right now. Do I got it? Got it. All right, boom. I won the first round. Cool. There we go. Pepe, again, when you point it at yourself or when the dealer points it at you, there's just that weird churning feeling, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. Let's make this a little more interesting. And this is where the modifiers come in. You can store up to 8 modifiers. So right now we got 2 items each. In the second, the last round, we get 4 items. Each of these do something different, right? Like this guy, I think, I forget what it does. Here's the handcuffs that can kind of bind the other person's hands. I'll put those right there, and that's it. And there's Sam and the dealer. One live round, one blank. If the chances are, for me, it's like if it's 50% or more, I'm gonna go ahead and try. And luckily we always get that first opportunity. Oh, I didn't get it. Now he's gonna aim it at me and take away one of my life points. And this is again, avert your eyes. Bam! It's just it's that weird feel, right? So. That's it. That's the game. And then you get it. And then once you complete it, you have the opportunity to go a little bit more higher stakes and money and double or nothing and that kind of stuff. That's really this game. Okay, so you get a couple. Okay, the magnifying glass, which lets me see what the next round is. I'll put that right here. General release of liability for no reason. And then another one of these. I'll put that over here. All right, so it's my turn. 2 and 2. Yeah. And that's it. I mean, that's what this game is. And again, it's just a way to, I don't want to say it's a way to pass the time. I don't find it like super engaging. Like I get what they're trying to do. Yeah. Here we go. It racks a shotgun to eject the current shell. So I can check the current round. Bam. Let's see what it is. It is. Oh, it's a live one. Nice. I'm going to shoot. Can I use this? No, I don't want to use it. I will handcuff the dude, which means I can take a shot and I'll have another opportunity. Bam, I shoot the dealer. Bam. All right. And now because his hands are still bound, I can take another shot. So I don't know. I don't have a magnifying glass, but I can keep going because his hands are still, you know. All right. I didn't do anything. It's a blank. And now it's his turn. So yeah, that's it. It's a game. Can have fun. And
interesting game.
It's really all it is. And again, it's the kind of thing. Oh, the cigarettes do certain things. There you go. You get health with cigarettes. And it's the kind of game that is good for streaming. And I think I feel like this game is a good opportunity because you can ask people, what should I do? And they'll reply back. There you go. He shot me. They'll reply back to you. And Sam, you're not doing so well, dude.
Not great.
It's great for the community streams. There's no reason to play this by yourself. So, but yeah, and if you're a streamer, I think this is actually a great streaming game because you really are engaged with people that way. So, yeah, the knife is kind of interesting because you chop off the end and makes it a double, you know, double the strength. So, yeah, it's
that's a weird one.
That's it. It's a game. I'm gonna stop sharing. Buckshot Roulette. Yeah, if you're a streamer. And you want to get a lot of people conversing, you want to get your community going, it's probably a really good game for that Actually, it is. That's why all the people have been streaming it for the last few months. If you're just sitting, you know, playing on your Steam Deck while you're watching TV, it's probably not going to do anything more for you. But there really isn't. Doesn't feel like there's much of a reward from going through it other than beating the dealer. And yeah, now it's no Balatro, because Balatro, I love beating the dealer. I love beating the ante, and I keep pouring hours into that game. Sam, have you picked that game up yet?
I haven't. Dave the Diver has taken that slot.
All right. Yeah, you're. Yeah. I just keep pouring hours in it. It's such an easy game to come back. It is, with everything that's already come out this year. It's going to be hard to dethrone Balatro as like one of the first games this year, and it's just perfectly adjusted. It's coming to iOS or phones, I should say, which is just going to be, it's over for us once that happens, because I'll be able to play it, you know, in the toilet at work, for long hours. But, yeah, it's a good stuff, but that's it. I don't have anything else that I can talk about. I mean, that's the gaming that I've been gaming, reviewing some stuff, plowing through games in my backlog. I finally finished Pokemon Arceus because I'm like, let me get back to that stupid game. NFL draft gaming. I'm heading down to the draft on Thursday. I think I was given the thumbs up from my boss to take the half day. I had all these vacation days. So I'm like, I'm going to use it. So heading down there and have some fun stuff. And I don't know, I posted in the Discord, the Lions were messing around. One of their video producers posted, I don't know if you guys saw it. I'll share it here, which I thought was pretty funny. What I like about social media, folks, or let me phrase it. What I like about this generation of people in media, especially in social media, a lot of these big corporations is in other places, is that they're our generation. And so they're into a lot of the same stuff that we are. Like, geeks have taken over. And when I saw my Detroit Lions post this, I mean, it's Photoshop, but he's got the Super Nintendo mouse. He's got the Game Boy Advance sitting there with a Photoshop video editor on there. He's got the camera plugged in somehow. I'm like, these are my people for sure. I appreciate the effort. But I was chatting with the actual video producer, because I hunted him down after this. And I'm like, is that real? He said, no, it's just the Photoshop. He's like, I'd love to get a scroll wheel working on the Super NES mouse and figure out a way to get a screen on there. I'm like, yeah, Pi, man. Raspberry Pi, I'll get you that, get that up and running. JJ was saying that in the Discord. So yeah, fun stuff. Yep, Game Boy printer, baby. Totally. But that's it. That's our podcast, man. My shorty, 43 minutes. We did it. I like it.
All you have to do is not talk.
Well, Sam, Taylor, thank you guys for joining me this evening. Oh, I forgot one last thing. Maybe I'll say this for next time. I have sitting in this bag here, when I got my Xbox Live, or well, that's not live anymore, the Xbox membership, the Ultimate membership, it came with a free gift of astronaut ice cream, because they had like a Starfield design on the card, and they said you get free ice cream too. It was like $20 or whatever. So I was going to eat that. I've been saving it here. It's still good until 17th of March, 2026.
Oh, so we got time.
We've got a couple of years. Maybe I'll save it for PAX next year, man. Oh, maybe I'll save it for PAX 26. That could be a good one. But yeah, I got that floating around that we can take care of sometime. Gents, thank you so much. It was an awesome chat with you guys. Thank you to our viewers. Thank you to the listeners. And yeah, hop into the Discord. That's where we all hang out. We have a good time down there. We chat about all kinds of fun stuff and pass the time away down there. And we reminisce about the times we hung out, and hope to hang out again soon, because we always have a good time doing that. With that said, we'll see you on the next episode of
the Southwest. Choices kill my head. Burn a day now. These are